Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, having spoken in many parts and in many ways formerly to the fathers in the prophets, at the end of these days has spoken to us in the person of the Son, whom he has established heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the effulgence of his glory and the expression of his substance and upholding all things by the word of his power, having made by him the purification of sins, set himself down on the right hand of the greatness on high, taking a place by so much better than the angels, as he inherits a name more excellent than they. Epistle to the Philippians in chapter 2, page 1418. Philippians chapter 2, begin at verse 6. Christ Jesus, who, subsisting in the form of God, did not esteem it an object of rapine to be on an equality with God, but emptied himself, taking a bondman's form, taking his place in the likeness of men, having been found in figure as a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and that the death of the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him and granted him a name, that which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of heavenly and earthly and infernal beings, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father's glory. Gospel according to Luke and chapter 22, page 1260. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. And going forth he went, according to his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. When he was at the place, he said to them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and having knelt down, he prayed, saying, Father, if thou wilt remove this cup from me, but then, not my will, but thine be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Being in conflict, he prayed more intently, and his sweat became as great drops of blood falling down upon the earth. And rising up from his prayer, coming to his disciples, he found them sleeping from grief. And he said to them, why sleep ye? Rise up and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Finally, in John's Gospel, John chapter 20, page 1299, verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hand the mark of the nails, and put my finger into the mark of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And 8 days after, his disciples were again within, and Thomas with them. Jesus comes, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be to you. Then he says to Thomas, bring thy finger here, and see my hands, and bring thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Some people might wonder if God has forgotten or doesn't care about the things that are going on the earth at the present time. This virus which seems to be spreading about the world. 4 or 5 weeks ago, some of us had never even heard of the city of Wuhan, and yet I believe it is a massive city. But you know, God does care, and God does look down upon the earth, and he takes account of what is going on. God knows. God knew about this virus before we knew about it. He knew where it was going to start. He also knows where it's going to end, because it's all under his hand. You know, God has spent the entire time of creation looking down upon the face of the earth, taking account of what's going on there. Says, even in Noah's time, said that God looked down
upon the face of the earth to see if there were any that did seek after him. When he saw the wickedness of man, what had come of his creation, it says that it repented him that he had made man. It says in Isaiah, I believe it is, that God was looking down upon man to see if there were any that did seek after him. And tonight, dear friend, God is looking down upon this little gathering in Worthing. What might be described as an insignificant gathering in an insignificant town, in a so-called insignificant country, when you take account of the whole world. And bear in mind that God is over the whole universe, and yet God is looking down on this little gathering in Worthing to see if there are any that are seeking after him, to see if there is any heart that is responding to him. The wonder of the moment, God outshining from above. The notice board outside speaks about the gospel, the good news, you know, good news of God. Yes, dear friends, God has good news. God has good tidings for us. But we sang in our hymn, the objects of his favour were in chains of bondage bound. The question of sin, dear friends, is what hinders our approach to God. It is what has always hindered man's approach to God. When Adam was put in the garden, you know, he had absolutely full liberty. Adam was given a wonderful responsibility. He was given a wonderful place to live. He was given a garden with trees that were producing fruit of every kind. And it was all good for his body. Now, you know, you've got trees that if you partake of the fruit of them, it will poison you. There weren't any trees like that in the Garden of Eden. There was one tree that Adam was forbidden to partake of. It wasn't the tree of life. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the moment that Adam partook of that tree, he realized that he had done wrong. From that moment onwards, man has tried to hide from God. Sometimes, you know, you hear people say that they're not frightened of God. They're going to tell God this and that and the other. Well, in the scriptures we read of a man who was found in type in the presence of God, who was unfit. He wasn't clothed with a wedding garment. What did he have to say? He was silent. He was silent. Dear friend, if you have to meet God in your sins, you too will be silent. You won't have anything to answer at all. But God doesn't want you to meet him in your sins. God has provided the remedy for your sins. Yes, dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ has come to this very earth to make God known, to make the love of God known. But more than that, dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ came to see to the question of sin. Read about God speaking to the prophets in Hebrews, or speaking through the prophets. All those Old Testament times, you know, God in patient long-suffering went on with man in his responsibility and gave him, through the prophets, what would be acceptable to him. And in all that time, you know, man had the opportunity and man still failed. Man still failed. But you know, it tells us elsewhere, where the passage is just escapes me just at the moment, but it says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. We were reminded this afternoon, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That was what Jesus came for, you know. Jesus came to save us, God's people, from their sins. You might say to me, well, how are we God's people? The Israelites were God's people. Well, the Israelites were God's people. But you know, God has a claim on every man, woman and child, because he is a creator God. And you, dear friend, have a responsibility to answer to him. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ came and walked here amongst men to make God known, to make the love of God known. How did he do that? He did that by walking a life which brought blessing to all who he came into contact with. And the light of God actually shone out through the person of the Lord Jesus. Tells us, I think it's in John, that the light appeared in the darkness, but the darkness apprehended it not. Dear friend, are you going to open your heart to see the light of God that shines in Jesus tonight? You know, the Lord Jesus came, and he came, as I said earlier, to see to the question of sin. And that required, you know, that he was to go to Calvary's cross to bear the penalty of sin. I just read that passage in Philippians because it helps us to understand what it cost the Lord Jesus to go that way. The Lord Jesus was God himself, but he came here as God's Son. He emptied himself, taking a bondless form, taking his place in the likeness of men. That's the first step, you know. You know, the Lord Jesus didn't come in here into this earth as some great king. He's the only one that's ever been born a king. Yet, was he born in a palace? No, we know that he was born in a stable or a cattle shed or something like that, laid in a manger, possibly a cattle trough. Think of that, you know, King of Kings being laid in a manger. See, the world and its system had no room for Jesus. But we were reminded, as I said this afternoon, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He didn't lead a life which was full of pomp and ceremony. He led a life, 30 years of which we know very little about, other than that we know that every single day and every single footstep was pleasing to heaven. Yes, the eye of God was upon the Lord Jesus. The eye of God was upon this earth, watching the footsteps of Jesus, you know. Think of John, it says, looking at Jesus as he walked. You know, he would have seen something of the glory that was manifested in the pathway of Jesus. But heaven took account of it anyway. Then we have the 3 years, 3.5 years, where he came into public service. Again, did he go round like a king in a fancy chariot and that sort of thing? No, he walked here amongst men. At times, people didn't even really know who he was. Said, is not this the son of a carpenter? They didn't really know who he was. We read this afternoon, or were reminded this afternoon, of how he was called Jesus the Nazarene. They could say, does any good come out of Nazareth, you know? But you know, that pathway that he was leading was going to take him to the cross of Calvary, becoming obedient unto death, and that the death of the cross. Yes, dear friend, he hung on the cross on behalf of sinners, that anyone who looks in faith at the man hanging upon the cross, puts their faith and trust in that one, can know that their sins have been forgiven because Jesus paid the price of it. Jesus hung on the cross as a man. We need to be careful when we speak about the Lord Jesus, but you know, I've sometimes heard it said that God hung upon the cross. God didn't hang upon the cross. It was Jesus that hung upon the cross. The Lord Jesus never ceased to be who he was by what he became. But it was a man that hung upon the cross. And it was a man in perfection. A man who had been through the exercises of the Garden of Gethsemane, you know. That's why I read about the Garden of Gethsemane. Because that is really, truly where we get some insight as to what the cost was for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes, you know, we're in danger of thinking that he was above all these things and was not affected. But you know, I love to read that passage, you know. It says, Father, if thou wilt remove this cup from me. In one sense, you could say he shrunk from it. He shrunk from it because he realized what that cup contained. My will, but thine be done. Perfect, blessed obedience. One who knew the price of sin like no other. None other could measure then sin's distance. It's a hymn that says, thou didst measure then sin's distance. Darkness, wrath and curse were thine. You know, I would like to suggest that in the garden was really when the Lord Jesus was measuring sin's distance, you know. He realized what taking that cup, what going to the cross of Calvary was going to entail. Says his sweat became as great drops of blood falling down upon the earth. Though the Lord Jesus was who he was, he could measure the distance that had been brought in by sin, and he could measure the cost in its fullness. But dear friend, he also paid the price in full. In full. No mitigation, no settlement. The price was paid in full, you know. Some there would have looked upon him and regarded him as nothing other than a common criminal. You know, he was put between two robbers, one on the right hand, one on the left. Again, as we were reminded this afternoon, men had chosen a murderer instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a spectacle they made of the Lord Jesus, you know. But you know, the Lord Jesus gave up his life. Says, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. Didn't read the bit where it says about Jesus coming into that garden to take him, you know. But if the Lord Jesus hadn't been prepared to submit himself to that, there was not a hand that could have been laid upon him, you know. Says somewhere else where they came to him to take him, that they fell away backward. He says, whom seek ye? They say, Jesus the Nazarene, I am he. And they fell away backward. Not a finger could have been laid upon him had the Lord Jesus not been prepared to subject himself to being put on that cross. Such were the depths of his love, dear friend, that he went that way, knowing the cost that it was going to be. And he bore that price in full. Not with all that men did to him. No, they beat him, they mocked him. I would suggest that men vented their hatred, as only evil men can do, upon the body of my Lord and Saviour. It says that all his bones were out of joint. Not a bone of him shall be broken, but all his bones were out of joint. You know, the mockery of the crown of thorns and all those things that were put upon him, shame and scorn and spitting. But dear friends, the time when the Lord Jesus bore the full penalty of sin were the 3 hours that were clothed in darkness. A private transaction between him and his God and Father. What he had contemplated in the garden was executed in those 3 hours of darkness. And at the end of it, he could say, it is finished. Having said that, he delivered up his spirit. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. The Lord Jesus had borne the penalty of sin. He had borne it in its fullness. And he had borne it to God's ultimate and righteous satisfaction. And as we know, he was taken down from that cross and laid in the tomb. 3 days later, the tomb was empty. Wherefore, God also highly exalted him. God raised him from amongst the dead and placed him at his right hand. You know, he was seen here for 40 days amongst those he loved, and firstly his disciples, and then amongst, it says, over 500 at one time. Then he was taken on high to be set at God's right hand. A day coming when every knee shall bow to Jesus of heavenly and earthly and infernal beings, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father's glory. That day is coming, dear friend. A day when everything on the face of the earth will honour the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, dear friend, you have an opportunity to honour the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I read about Thomas. Thomas, one of the disciples of Jesus. He loved him and had kept his company. But all his hopes were gone when Jesus had been crucified. Some of the other disciples had said to him about seeing Jesus. And he says, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and put my finger into the mark and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. In no wise a strong negative, the note says. 8 days later, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples, and Thomas was there with them. He says to Thomas, come here, put your finger in my hands, put your hand in my side. You know, often think about that time when Kenny Wickens was preaching here many years ago, and he said, I bet Thomas could have kicked himself that for 8 days he hadn't believed that the Lord Jesus had risen. Well, that's always stuck with me. But you know, Thomas was given this invitation. Did he take it up? I don't think Thomas needed to go and put his finger in the mark of the nails or his hand in the side of Jesus. No. Thomas answered, my Lord and my God. Thomas became a worshipper. He became a worshipper of the Lord Jesus Christ. He became a worshipper of God. That is why the gospel preaching goes out tonight, dear friends. The gospel preaching goes out to seek worshippers for God. Are you a worshipper? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour? Have you been released from the darkness that may have clouded your mind? Have you seen something of the beauty of Jesus? Seen something of the divine satisfaction that God finds in his only beloved Son, the one who he raised from amongst the dead and set at his right hand? That man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is still there, still waiting that time when he's instructed to come and take his lovers to be with himself. In the meantime, he's securing worshippers, worshippers for God, those who can respond to God, knowing that their sins are forgiven. Are you amongst them, dear friend? Dear friend, tonight you can be amongst them simply by believing, simply by putting your faith and trust in that finished work that was done at Calvary's cross. Dear friend, there is nothing that you can do that can add to it, and there is nothing that you can do that can take away from it. It was done to God's divine satisfaction at Calvary's cross. I commend it to you, dear friend, and I commend the Lord Jesus to you as an all-the-way-home Saviour. He will be with you right the way through. Things don't always go right. Things didn't always go right for his disciples, but they found strength in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord would love to walk with you in your pathway here until that time that he comes to take you to be with himself. Dear friend, surrender yourself to the love of Jesus tonight for his name's sake.